And so today we begin in the Gospel of Mark, just as Jesus has come in on his triumphal entry. We're going to spend our time looking at the very next day, what took place on the day after his triumphal entry. I'll be reading and preaching from Mark chapter 11, beginning at verse 9. So let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." And he entered Jerusalem, and he went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. On the following day, when they came from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see if he could find anything on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And he said to it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard it. As they passed by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered away to its roots. And Peter remembered and said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered." And Jesus answered them, "Have faith in God. This is the word of the Lord." Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Father, we would ask that you would give us faith. We ask that you would give us faith even in this moment to be still and to listen to your holy word, to expect to be changed as a result of what we hear by the powerful work of the Holy Spirit. Reveal to us the truth, Lord Jesus, that is in this work that you did, that we might indeed see the wonder of the gospel again and grow as you've called us to grow, that our lives might bear fruit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's the day after the triumphal entry. The crowds the day before had shouted Hosanna, Jesus knowing they would shout something different at the end of the week. But the day after the triumphal entry, Jesus is hungry. Jesus is hungry, and we see his humanity. Human hunger is a powerful motivator. He goes to a tree that is in full leaf, a fig tree, and he expects to find fruit. There is no fruit. Jesus is hungry, and we see his divinity. He curses the fig tree, and it dies. This is a miracle. Many people, when they read the Gospels, think that the last miracle before the resurrection was the healing of the blind man Bartimaeus. But it wasn't, because this was a miracle. This miracle showed Jesus' authority over nature. He saw this tree that was in full leaf, full expectation that there should be fruit, and there was no fruit, so he cursed it. And because he's God, he's divine, his authority over that tree revealed itself the very next day when it was withered all the way, dead to the roots. This is the last miracle in the Gospel of Mark before the resurrection. It is the last miracle in all of the Gospels, except for in Luke, where the servant of the high priest has his ear cut off, and Jesus picks it up, touches his ear, heals it. Jesus is hungry. We see his humanity. And Jesus is hungry. We see his divinity. What's interesting about this miracle is that most of the miracles recorded in the Gospels are miracles to bring about life, to bring resurrection, to bring food, to bring healing, to calm a storm, to bring peace. But this one miracle is a miracle of judgment. This is a miracle of judgment. The last miracle before the resurrection, other than the ear being healed, this miracle of judgment Jesus brings. It's a miracle that's also a parable. And in order to understand it, we've got to look below the surface of what Jesus was really getting at. Jesus was hungry. As he went to the tree to find food, it should have had food. Fig trees, it's interesting, actually bear their fruit before they bear leaves. So if you were to see a fig tree in full leaf, you would expect there to be fruit that was there, but there was no fruit. The shallow reading of this simply seems like Jesus is kind of upset because he's human and he's hungry. He didn't sin, but he curses the tree. But that's not it. This is not about the humanity of Jesus and his hunger primarily. It's about a different hunger that Christ had, a divine hunger, a hunger for the fruit to be in God's people. And when Jesus came and looked at the city of Jerusalem, Luke tells us that he wept. And the tears that Jesus wept, according to the Greek in that passage, were tears of sobbing. This was not a tear rolling down his cheek. These were profound moments of grief as he looked up on the nation of Israel. And what did he see? He saw God's people in full leaf with no fruit. And so Jesus brings this profound curse, this profound miracle, in order to reveal to us his hunger for fruit in God's people and this strong warning against those who think that just looking fruitful is enough. And so this is one of those passages, as we read it, that frankly is kind of scary. But that fear that we might feel and wondering about the fruit in our own lives is a healthy thing. And in the end, we'll see it's actually a grace. Charles Spurgeon, in preaching this about this fig tree, said this. And this is Spurgeon. Listen. I do not know that I ever felt more solemnly the need of true fruitfulness before God than when I was looking over this miracle. So I want to talk about three things this morning briefly. First is this. Because Jesus hungers for fruit, this divine hunger, because he hungers for fruit, we too must hunger for fruit. So let's begin. Why does Jesus hunger for fruit? In John 15, Jesus says something profound. He says, "It is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit." So Jesus hungers for fruit in the life of people, in the lives of people, because he hungers for the glory of God. And what is it that brings God glory? The fruit that is in our lives. It is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. Jesus also teaches us in John 15 that there's only one way to bear fruit, and that is by abiding in Christ, remaining in Christ. None of us can bear fruit except for being in the vine, which is Christ. We are the branches. He is the vine. But he says, it is to my Father's glory that you, his people, bear much fruit. He was looking upon a nation, the chosen people of God, represented by the fig tree. And he says, there's no fruit. It's full leaf, but there's no fruit. And so he gives this incredible warning. Jesus hungers for fruit because it brings God glory. Another thing that he says in that passage, it is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. And then he goes on to say, just after that, so proving to be my disciples. If you want to know whether you're a disciple of Christ, you don't have to look to a specific date. You can. Mine's June 23rd, 1982. But if that's all I have to go on, I'm missing something significant. The proof of my discipleship is not June 23rd, 1982. It's April 13th, 2014. There's fruit in my life because I've remained in Christ. I am one who has fruit because of him. Many of you this day can say the same thing. You don't have to go to a specific date. You can. But what's important is that there's evidence of discipleship in the fruit of your lives. Fruit that you didn't create. Fruit that you couldn't give birth to. You have fruit as a Christian because God's put it there. You've abided in Christ. It's amazing. But there are people in the church today who are full leaf, but there's no fruit. There's not an abiding in Christ. They haven't professed faith in Christ. They're not walking in Christ. They're living in presumption. Some would even say, well, I made a prayer when I walked the aisle one day when I was a boy. Or I was at a summer camp and I made a prayer. And I've got it. I've got the insurance. I'm in Jesus. It's good. I can do whatever I want now. I'm so glad you're here today. Because you're wrong. You're wrong. You're deadly wrong. That's not the gospel. That's presumption. It's cheap grace. It's not the good news of Jesus Christ. The good news of Jesus Christ is not, I died and wept over people's sin so that you would just pray one little prayer and then you could do whatever you want the rest of your life. That's nowhere in Scripture. It's antinomianism. It's this idea that, well, it doesn't really matter. I just got to say the right thing once and then it's good. It's not the gospel. You need to rethink it by hearing it, reading it yourself. And because Jesus hungers for fruit, we too should hunger for fruit. It's a proof that we are his disciples. I'm not talking about perfectionism. This is important. None of us are perfect. None of us will be perfect. Not this side of heaven. But we trust in a perfect Savior. We abide in a perfect Savior. That's why we're saved. That's why there's fruit growing in our life. So I'm not talking about perfectionism. In fact, this is so significant. The very ones that see this miracle, the cursing of the fig tree, are the ones who before the end of the week are going to say, I didn't know him. I'm not with him. Peter will say three times, I did not, do not know the man. So this is not about perfection, except in the perfection of Christ. But it's also presumptuous to think that fruit isn't to be seen in our lives. Listen to what Spurgeon said about a hunger for this fruit. This is a few sentences long, but it's beautiful and delivered by one of the great preachers of the church. Lean in and listen. Jesus hungers for your holiness. A strong expression, you will say, but I doubt not of its accuracy. For what were we elected? We were predestinated to be conformed unto the image of God's Son. We were chosen to do good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. What is the end of our redemption? Why did Jesus Christ die? He gave himself for us that he might redeem us all from iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous for good works. If you will think of any privilege which the Lord confers upon his people through Christ, you will perceive that they all aim at the sanctification of the chosen people, the making of them to bring forth fruit, that God the Father may be glorified in them. Do you see? Spurgeon is saying that Jesus Christ died in order that you and I might bear the fruit that would bring the Father glory. Jesus Christ started this work. He's completing this work with the work of the Holy Spirit in us. It's called sanctification. Justification is an act. It's a one-time event when the Lord reveals to us the need we have for him. That it's his perfection and righteousness imputed to us and our sin imputed to him. That's an act that happens one time. We are justified by faith alone. It's an act. But it's not by a faith that is alone. The evidence of that faith is born in sanctification, where believers begin to have fruit born in their life, born in their branches. And that's what Spurgeon is saying. He goes on to say, O Christian, this is really beautiful, listen. O Christian, for this the tears of the Savior, for this the agony and bloody sweat, for this the five death wounds, for this the burial and the resurrection, that he makes you holy, even perfectly holy, like unto himself. And can it be that when he hungers after fruit, you think nothing of fruit bearing? As his children, as his creatures, we ought to be hungering for the fruit that Christ himself hungers for. Which leads to my second point. And this is the point that's very, very important to hear. Because he cursed the fruitless tree, we must pay very careful attention to his warning and examine our lives. Let me explain it again. This tree that Jesus was approaching, he was approaching because he was physically hungry. He had a human hunger. As he got closer to the tree and began to examine it, it was in full leaf. It was a mystery. It shouldn't have been in full leaf, but it was. And there Jesus reveals to us his divine hunger as he pronounces a curse on it, showing that this looks like the people of Israel. They look like the true church. They look like the people of God, but there's no fruit. And so he's cursing them. He's cursing them because they didn't believe in him. They didn't believe he was the way, the truth, and the life. And we need to take this picture seriously. Here's why. In your Bible above this section, it probably says the cursing of the fig tree. It should probably say something else too. This cursing of the fig tree, this miracle that brings this tree to death, is actually a profound work of grace. It's a profound work of grace because this tree itself has been used for the last 2,000 plus years to warn people that if they're living a life that looks like it's fruitful and full leaf, but there's no fruit, they need to be in fear of the judgment of God. They might not really be the people of Christ. In the Bible Belt, it's a picture that we need so desperately because so many people think, if I just walk the aisle, or I just have a relative that loves the Lord, or if I just in time say a certain prayer, which is true, if you're dying and you profess faith in Christ and it's a genuine confession and repentance, you die just like the thief on the cross, you have eternal life. But what isn't true is those who say, I made that prayer when I was 15 and I know now I can live any way I want. Your life is not bearing fruit. That is no proof that you're a disciple. Again, it's not perfectionism, but nor is it presumption. And so, because he cursed the fruitless tree, we must pay careful attention to his warning and examine our own lives. How do we do that? Well, Jesus said at the beginning of his sermon on the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. A Christian is a person who hungers and thirsts for righteousness. Now, you might be saying, I know I prayed a prayer. I know I've had those moments when I hungered and thirsted for righteousness, but right now I'm not. So am I in danger of going to hell? Well, let's talk about this in layers. If you hear Christ's warning and it creates fear in you to examine your life, that's very likely a sign of fruit. If you hear that warning and say, I was a little scared, but I don't really care anymore, and that's probably a sign that there's not a lot of real fruit in your life. I wouldn't be so assured. Let the Word of God direct you. Hear it, read it, and get a sense for what the Lord's doing. But it's clear here by his miracle that we need to examine our lives. So as we do, I think there are three types of people here today and most Sundays. The first person is this. Mark, as I hear the word preached and as I read the word and I look at my life, I see fruit. That's not arrogant. It can be. I see fruit. Look at me. That's wrong. But for you to say, I know I am a believer. I have the assurance of salvation. I know there's fruit in my life and I know there are branches that aren't very fruitful. Praise God. Guess what? The Father's the vine dresser. He's pruning those branches that aren't bearing the good fruit. He's going to make you more fruitful. So if you're sitting here today and you're absolutely convinced because of the faithfulness of God in your life that you are bearing fruit, praise God. And what Paul would tell you as a member of this church, the church, is go and do so more and more. Continue to abide in Christ that you might bear more and more and more fruit. And some of you might be like, but there's sin that I'm struggling to hate. Well, take it back a layer. Do you hate that you don't hate the sin? It's a sign of fruit. So look at your life and examine it. There's a second type of person. And the person here today, and certainly who will be here next week, might say, I don't know if I'm bearing fruit. So that leads to two thoughts. If you don't know whether or not you're bearing fruit, it's possible you're not a Christian. If you're concerned about that and concerned that you would spend eternity separated from God, and it's a deep concern in your heart, guess what? I would imagine that you're on your way to becoming a Christian. Camp there. Embrace what's being preached. Embrace what's being read. Embrace the Word of God. Come to Christ at this very moment. I mean right now. Pray, Christ, save me. Save me. I'm a sinner in need of you. I can't bear the fruit that I need to bear without you. I am yours. Save me. And you'll be saved at this very moment. Pray that prayer even as I preach. But there are those who are also looking at their life today who might be saying, I'm not sure if I see fruit or not. And I don't really care. I was just told that this service ends at 12 and it's now 12:03. When are you going to stop? My friends, you don't have the assurance. You shouldn't. If you have it, it's false. The third type of person is a person who has no fruit. And they know they have no fruit. And they have no leaves. They're not pretending. I have one question. Why are you here? I just want to know. Tell me, is it to make your grandmother happy? Or your parent? Or is it perhaps that something more significant beyond you is happening? And maybe now the Lord is drawing you to think deeper about your own relationship with Him. The warning that Christ gave is for you. Think of it this way. The three most popular trees in the world are biblical trees. The first is the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the tree in the garden, the one they were told not to eat from. The second one is the cross. Whatever tree cut down to be the wood for that cursed place that Christ hung. And the third would be this tree. Seems like it's cursed among all fig trees, but it's the one for over 2,000 years people have been pointing back to, looking at their own life saying, do I have leaves but no fruit? What a blessing that the Lord would give us this miracle. Which leads to my final point. Listen carefully. Jesus hungers for fruit. He hungers for fruit in you, His people. Because He hungers for fruit, we must hunger for fruit. Jesus cursed the fruitless tree. We must pay careful attention to our lives. Is there fruit there? Ask the question. And lastly, because He died on the cursed tree, we can bear fruit by abiding in Him. This is the last thing I want to say. Jesus hungered for fruit so much in the lives of people that He came to walk on this earth, to die the death that man deserved to die, to take on sin and become sin, that we might have the curse that we deserve for all eternity removed. Christ Himself went to the cursed tree and was extended and hung there, dying the death that you and I deserve to die. And by doing that, Jesus has enabled us to bear fruit, the fruit that would bring His Father glory. There's no other way. And so that's why Jesus can tell us that He is the vine and we are the branches, those who are truly in Christ. And those who are truly in Christ will have fruit. It will be in different multiplications, but there will be fruit. And so today I ask this question in closing. If Christ was to look upon this sanctuary right now and see into your life, what would He see? Are your branches full of fruit? Praise Him. Praise Him. It's not arrogant. It's true. Praise Him. Ask for more. He delights in that. But if He looks at your life, and He does, this is not just a metaphor. What does He see? Does He see full leaves but no fruit? Then listen to the warning He gives. Does He see no leaves and no fruit? Listen to the warning that Christ gives. If that brings into your spirit a soberness, a sense of I really need to understand where I'm at with God, praise God, because the tree that He cursed and the tree that He was on that was cursed is coming to reveal to you that you need Him. And so that which was called a cursing of the tree, this very day may be a blessing in your life where you say, I want Jesus. I need Jesus. But the saddest thing would be if you leave here today deceived that it's okay to be in full leaf but have no fruit. That's not the gospel. We're not talking about perfectionism except in the perfect Savior of Christ. But we're also not talking about cheap grace and presumption. We, His people, are saved by grace alone, by faith alone, but not by a faith that is alone. If it's just leaves, fear is curse. If there's fruit, praise Him. Praise Him. For you truly are His. Lord Jesus, we thank You so much for this powerful miracle. One in which in many ways seems confusing. But when we look beneath the surface, it's a profound picture of what You were seeking to say to those who thought they were in. But in reality, they were not. Lord, at the end of Your sermon, You said, on that day, many will say to Me, Lord, Lord, do we not prophesy in Your name and in Your name drive out demons? And You said that You will say to them, away from Me, I never knew You. But Lord, I pray that no one would walk out of here in that condition today, but instead would come for salvation. I pray that that might happen even at this very moment as I pray, that they simply would say and pray, save me. Lord, for all who are in Christ already, may this be an encouragement that Your grace has manifested itself. They're in the vine, You, Christ, and are bearing fruit. May that be so more and more in all of our lives, for Your glory's sake, as You hunger for this fruit. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.